Welcome to Banking on Information, where we dive deep into the dynamic world of financial services and technology. Discover the innovative solutions driving the industry forward, explore the latest trends, and uncover the strategies that are reshaping the future of finance. Join us as we unravel the why, what, and how of solution providers in the financial services industry. Stay tuned for insights that will revolutionize the way you think about money and technology.
Hello and welcome to Banking on Information, where we are digging into the why, what, and how of solutions at the intersection of financial services and technology. Today, I'm talking to Karam Khalil, who is the Chief Product Officer at Kerry. Welcome, Karam.
Thank you very much, and good morning to you as well, Rutger.
Good morning. We're going to start off with the Simon Sinek question around what is your why? So, Karam, what is your why? Why do you get out of bed? Why do you do what you do?
Absolutely. Again, thanks again for inviting me to this. Looking forward to it. So it's great why, what, and how. Like, it makes you think from your day-to-day life things differently. So I was just answering a question to myself, and basically why I get up to work every day is because my family, myself, and my partner, Jason Sawyer, we are all small business owners. We have been small business owners for a long time. And all we see is regulatory bodies or agencies trying to create more work for small business owners, rather than us focusing on our how to grow our business and how to be successful. More than half of the time is spent in doing expense control, accounting integration, accounting management. So basically what makes me get out of bed every morning is, how do I simplify small business? How do I simplify lives of small business owners? And how do we make things easier for them from the financial and spend control management point of view, so that they can concentrate on their customers and expanding their business? So that's my why.
So really helping small businesses and making their lives easier. That is a great why. Now then, let's talk a little bit about what that means, right? What's the what? Like, what use cases do you solve for? How do you make life easier for small business owners?
Yeah, so what happened was that we started this journey with the launch of a credit card product, which was our own branded credit card. We scaled up to millions of transactions, thousands of cards. And then we reached to a point where we said, wait a minute, this is a great product. I see a lot of use cases in the market, like from the big retailers to big telcos. Everyone wants to see where their customer is spending. So how cool is that, that we have battle-tested platform that I built to launch Kerry. So now we are reaching out to all the other small FIs in US, credit unions, small banks, retailers, telcos, whoever is in a need of a credit card, and we reach out to them and say, look, we have done it. Come and use our same platform, and instead of you spending millions of dollars and 5 years of a project to launch a credit card, I can do that for you in months for one-tenth of the cost. So that's my main value proposition, and that's what I've been doing for the last 3 months.
Yeah, no, that's great. So helping other financial institutions leverage your experience, leveraging your platform, allowing them to actually provide a card to small business owners. That is a great way to do that. Now, what is a example of how that works out, and what value does that create for your customers?
So how it works out is that, I'm not going to quote Elon Musk verbatim, but basically what he always says when he was doing his payments company, that payments is just a gateway into finding out more about your customer and finding out their spending habit. So I think my main value proposition in my platform is, how I want to do it is, I want to create an ecosystem where once a retailer or a bank launches a card program with us, is the data and the insights. So it's not only a plastic or a virtual card or accounting integration, which is more like B2C kind of thing. So we are making sure that their small businesses are happy. But for the banks itself, creating that enriched data for them to cross-sell, upsell, understand they're using where they're spending their money. I think that, and using AI to overlay another layer on understanding what their future use is going to look like on the card. Right. I think that is my value proposition. So if you think about from my business, I've got two customers. One is making sure that the small business who's using the card itself, they are happy.
Yep.
But my customers, that's a faraway customer. My near-term customer is a bank. So how do I service my bank so that they are saying, oh my God, if we were to do it, these guys have done it way better than us. So for me, that is all about data, AI, analytics, predictive modeling, and we have built state-of-the-art data models and data warehousing facilities for the banks.
Yeah. So you're helping them with efficiency, but actually the real value is in the insights that you're getting about the customers, how they're spending, getting better understanding of who they are and what potential future products they would be interested in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, that's great. Now let's do a little bit of an exercise, which I call futures thinking, which is thinking out what a possible future could look like. Now, obviously the disclaimer is no one knows what the future is. So this isn't a kind of like, we know what the future is, but we can think about what a possible future could look like. So let's think 2034, 10 years out. What does the market look like for payments, for credit cards, for small businesses? What do you see 10 years out? How does that look different from today?
So just crystal balling high level, how the small business looks like. So let me just divide this thought process into four or five buckets. The first part is, of course, sustainability. So how would small business sustain themselves? So I think from a sustainability point of view is, again, to do with back-end automation, streamlining of the process and process automations. A lot of the small business struggle with that because in their hindsight, they spend all their money in the front-end asset, in marketing, in sales, in raw material, but they never think about how do I optimize this process to service a customer when someone orders a product? How quickly can I give it to him? And what are the lessons learned and the data is attached to it so that you can measure it? I think that is going to be a key and lesson learned from Kerry as well. Like we did something like any other startup does. In excitement of getting new customers in, all we did was worried about the customer and their product. And the back end was, you know what, let's do this manually. Right. Let's do this manually. And in the end, you're doing 50 things manually, right? So I think that is one very important thing to sustain.
Yep.
The second way from the sustenance and HR point of view, I would say is that organizations need to now get used to of virtual, hybrid, nearshore, offshore, different geographies, different time zones. Like I know that there are some organizations which are still resisting it. And again, depending on your role as well. But I think as a small business owner, it doesn't matter if you are JP Morgan or if you're a mom and pop shop, you are still a global player. So getting comfortable and making sure that your global HR and scalability of that HR, you are thought through, I think that's going to be very important. So these are from sustainability and HR point of view.
Yeah.
Now from the customer service point of view, I think like omnichannel is the best with AI and chatbots. I think every small business will be on AI chatbot version of it, 100%. The third bucket I would just touch upon is financial and money movement. So I think from the financial point of view, crypto is going to be a player in some way, shape, or form, either a US crypto or whatever kind of crypto. And again, I think from my business, I think peer-to-peer lending is only going to grow. There are businesses out there, and every business goes through a cycle, and then some businesses are sitting on billions of dollars. I think they would start understanding that instead of putting it in a bank and making 1%, I think it's not going to work out. So how can they help an ecosystem? And it could be downward integration as well. So for example, a telco has thousands of customers thousands of vendors. So out of those thousands of vendors, they can finance some of those vendors, which in turn will benefit them in the future as well. So that gives them more control as well as utilization of the money and money makes money for them.
Yeah.
And the last one is from the financial point of view is, I know I'm a Canadian, so we are the last at real-time money transfer. We are still struggling, and the joke I always make is probably Haiti is going to figure it out better than Canada would. But I'm hoping that money transfer, I just got some money in from an external party, and my bank charged me a fees to process it. So I said, wait a minute, I thought that when the originating party pays like 45 freaking bucks in Canada, like why am I paying for it? Oh, this is a new fee that we have introduced.
Yeah.
Easy. Like nowhere in this world happens that an inbound, I'm paying for an inbound wire transfer. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I think that piece needs to be fixed, needs to be standardized. I know there's an ISO out there which they are standardizing it, but I think more work needs to be done. And the last one is the regulatories. So I think the regulations will continue to grow because of crypto introductions, B2B, B2C, all kind of money movements. Regulations will continue to become a problem for a lot of startups and the banks and everyone else. And we have to find a cheaper way to address that, because in my world, like I built data warehouse very well. So for me, it was easier, but the banks struggle. Like if a regulator comes and asks a question, that question comes to like $10 million and 4 months of project, right? Yep. This busyness has to stop. I think the regulators are never going to back down. They will continue to come up with new type of regulations, and rightly so. But the banks and the fintechs and the businesses have to figure it out. How can they answer the questions for a regulator in a very cheap, fast way? But I think these are my just high level thinking.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to think of the future, the possible future that we could see. So, given all those elements that you see in that possible future, what do we need to do differently today to get ready for that?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think where I'm finding out that, and I've been on both sides. So I've been in technology initial 5 years, worked with Oracle and SAP and Microsoft. Then I went into all banking, like Manulife, Scotia, and then into a startup world. I think how you can do it is that your infrastructure, your business operating model has to be plug and play. And you're continuously every year, go back to your supplier and find a new supplier, which is cheaper and better. And then you unplug the old supplier and put a new supplier in. I think that is going to be the biggest differentiating factor between a startup and a big bank, because the big banks unfortunately cannot do that. All of their contracts are 7 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Right? And unplugging and plugging it back in is just too expensive for them. They won't be able to do it. Whereas a startup for me, if I continue to look at my supplier, like my dad used to say, you never make money selling a product, you make money selling a product. So if you have a cheaper product, a cheaper supplier, you are making money at the time when you are buying something. So for me, my fixed cost and plugging and play a cheaper and a better supplier every 2 to 3 years, the key one, I think would be a huge factor for me, because then I can save money at my fixed cost and transfer over those cost savings to my end customers. So in the end, it's all about customers paying less for a better service. And the only way I'll be able to do it is finding a cheaper supplier every 3 years and changing, either renegotiating them down or changing them, and continue to give this value to the end customer.
Yeah, no, that's great. So get ready for plug and play, be ready to swap out and be flexible in your setup. That was great. Thank you very much, Karam, for coming on the show. If there's any questions for you or for myself, feel free to reach out to Karam or myself on LinkedIn. This was another episode of Banking on Information. Please like, subscribe, and share it with your network. Thank you so much, Karam.
Thank you very much, Rutger. Nice to see you. See you.